The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Washington Post, the James Webb Telescope, Alt Text is the new star. From Disability Rights North Carolina, Winston-Salem Service Animal Policy trains Winston-Salem Police Department on laws protecting the disabled and their animals. From Your Daily Local, White Cane Coffee in Warren, PA. From Touchpad Pro Foundation, About Us. From The Quinn, TheQuinn, Blind and Visually Impaired Services from and by a Blind Visually Impaired Provider. So let's get started. From the WashingtonPost.com, the unexpected star of NASA's web images, the alt-text descriptions. A team in Baltimore was responsible for the words that made the stunning photos accessible to everyone. Article by Teresa Vargas. In the days since NASA publicly shared stunning images captured by the James Webb Space Telescope, people have oohed and aahed. They have marveled at the breathtaking beauty of those photos and the significant lessons about the universe that might exist in those crisp cosmic details. But it's not only the photos that have wowed people. Many have also been struck by the thoughtful descriptions that have accompanied them. If anyone ever tells you alt text isn't important, show them at NASA's alt text for the hashtag Webb Space Telescope images, Kate Myers Emery tweeted. They are able to convey the wonders and beauty of these in words, making these breathtaking views accessible. This isn't just a stunning picture from at NASA. It's a brilliant example of how to use alt text, the Royal National Institute of Blind People tweeted. Do you agree? It's clear that the NASA digital team put a lot of thought and care into how they described the Webb telescope images, and their descriptions feel like a love letter to space exploration and the infinite marvels of the universe. Alexa Heinrich of Accessible Social wrote in an emailed newsletter, accessibility expands the world for everyone, making even distant stars attainable. It's a beautiful thing indeed. The alt text feature on social media platforms allows a person to describe through words and image so that someone who is blind or visually impaired can use screen reader technology to know what is being shown. In other words, it makes an image accessible to everyone. And in the case of the recent photos shared by NASA, it allowed everyone to know they were looking at celestial scenes bursting with colors and shapes. NASA, of course, should have included those descriptions with its photos. That it did not was not surprising. No, that it did was not surprising. What proved unexpected was how poetically striking and scientifically accurate those descriptions ended up being. The image is divided horizontally by an undulating line between a cloudscape forming a nebula along the bottom portion and a comparatively clear upper portion, reads one. Speckled across both portions is a star field, showing innumerable stars of many sizes. The smallest of these are small, distant, and faint points of light. The largest of these appear larger, closer, brighter, and more fully resolved with 8-point diffraction spikes. The upper portion of the image is bluish and has wispy, translucent, cloud-like streaks rising from the nebula below. That description can be appreciated by someone who is blind or someone who wants to know more about astronomy or anyone who appreciates the care that goes into choosing just the right word. If you don't need alt text to interpret an image, it's easy to look past that feature. But the conversations that the NASA photos have encouraged are important because they show how little it takes to bring more people into an experience. The team that produced those descriptions works for the Space Telescope Science Institute out of Baltimore, and they have been paying attention to the response. It's been really heartening to see how much this has touched people, said Tim Rue II. That's R-H-U-E. The principal informal education specialist at the Space Telescope Science Institute. It's something that's deeply personal to so many people. On top of that, we do it because we want to make astronomy accessible to everyone. It's astronomy and dinosaurs that are gateways to science for so many people. A team that included writers, designers, scientists, and educators worked together to put together the package of images the public saw. And the alt text was not an afterthought, Rue said. He said the team had a relatively short period of time to produce those descriptions. He only saw the photos a week before the public did. But they had spent the previous 2 years discussing accessibility and working with a consulting agency to create an alt text style book. During that process, they practiced writing descriptions and learned what didn't work. I had thought that brevity was a really important thing. That's a common misconception, Rue said. He pointed to the saying, a picture is worth 1,000 words, and said the recent images required more words than that to fully capture them. There were more than 1,000 words written about each of these pictures, and we could keep going. The extended descriptions and alt text for the images can be found by clicking on the gallery on the Webb Space Telescope website. One alt text begins, two views of the same object, the Southern Ring Nebula, are shown side by side. Both feature black backgrounds speckled with tiny bright stars and distant galaxies. Both show the planetary nebula as a misshapen oval that is slightly angled from top left to bottom right. Rue said that the team has heard from the public through email, social media, and the website, and that for him the personal stories have been the most powerful. As a blind person who has had dreams of doing astronomy since I was 6, thank you to whoever not only remembered to write alt text for this, but did so in just such a beautiful way, software developer and accessibility activist Katie Durden wrote on Twitter. Her name is spelled D-U-R-D-E-N. I'll likely never know who you are, but you touched my heart this day, alt text writer. After Kelly Lepo, L-E-P-O, tweeted that she was a member of the small team at the Space Telescope Science Institute who created the alt text, Durden shared that tweet and wrote of having dreams since childhood of being able to see the stars. Y'all brought me closer to that dream than ever with your alt text, Durden wrote. I don't have the words to say thank you. Here is an update from Disability Rights North Carolina about the article I read recently about the user of a guide dog who was kicked out of a mall in Winston-Salem. From disabilityrightsnc.org, Winston-Salem, service animal policy first among largest NC cities. Dateline August 16th. The city of Winston-Salem is taking the lead among North Carolina's largest cities in adopting a policy that ensures Winston-Salem police officers are specifically trained on the laws which protect the rights of those who use service animals. The city's new policy settles a lawsuit Disability Rights North Carolina, DRNC, filed against the city last fall. The complaint alleged that officers with the Winston-Salem Police Department forced Wilmer Oliva to leave a store at Haynes Mall or face arrest after store manager sought to have Oliva removed because he was accompanied by his guide dog, Forte. I need Forte to work, to shop, to navigate my town, said Mr. Oliva. The city denied these lawsuit allegations, responding that the officers advised Mr. Oliva that he either needed to leave the store, Jimmy Jazz, voluntarily, or face a possible charge of trespass after store management objected to his videotaping customers inside the store. The city specifically denied that the officers told Mr. Oliva that he faced a trespass charge as a result of his use of a service dog. However, the city recognized that a specific policy and training as to service animal laws under the Americans with Disabilities Act and similar North Carolina laws would be beneficial to the city, the police department, and citizens and visitors. We applaud the city of Winston-Salem's leadership for taking this systemic approach to protect the rights of disabled people who use service animals, said Virginia Knowlton Marcus, Chief Executive Officer of Disability Rights North Carolina. We are thankful for strong advocates such as Mr. Oliva, who are willing to stand up for their rights. Such courageous advocates improve the lives of other people with disabilities who rely on service animals to participate in their communities. The city of Winston-Salem has long-standing policies in place which prohibit discrimination and which recognize the requirements placed upon the city and its employees under the Americans with Disabilities Act and related state laws, said City Attorney Angela Carmon, C-A-R-M-O-N. While we disagree that the officers in this case violated any law or policy, the city is always open to considering additional policies and specific training which may be helpful. The new policy, which DRNC believes may be the first of its kind among all municipalities in the state, will provide necessary guidance to WSPD employees who encounter service animals on the job. Service animals play an important role in the disability community, providing work and tasks that help disabled people navigate their surroundings and fully participate in their communities. The Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, requires public entities like the city to modify its policies and practices to ensure that its employees do not discriminate against people with disabilities who rely on service animals for assistance, including guide dogs. The new service animal policy will help WSPD employees identify when an animal is a service animal, what the requirements are for using a service animal, and the legal protections that exist for people who use service animals. DRNC attorney Chris Hodgson strongly encourages other cities to follow the city of Winston-Salem's lead and adopt service animal policies for their police departments. Police officers need proper training and guidance about the legal protections in place for service animals, said Hodgson, lead attorney on the case. We cannot expect them to understand and apply the rights of people with disabilities without understanding service animal laws. About the city of Winston-Salem. One of the South's most progressive cities, Winston-Salem is a combination of two early communities, Salem with the traditions of its Moravian founders and Winston, a vigorous industrial center. In 1913, the citizens of Winston and Salem voted to unite under one common government founded upon cooperation and formed the city of Winston-Salem. Today, Winston-Salem is known as the city of arts and innovation and was recently ranked by U.S. News & World Report as the seventh best place to retire in the United States. About Disability Rights North Carolina. Disability Rights North Carolina is the federally mandated protection and advocacy system in North Carolina, dedicated to advancing the rights of all people with disabilities of all ages statewide. DRNC is an independent 501c3 nonprofit organization and a member of the National Disability Rights Network. Learn more about Disability Rights North Carolina at disabilityrightsnc.org. Contacts: Angela Carmon, C-A-R-M-O-N, City Attorney, City of Winston-Salem. Phone 336-747-7404. Email Angela C at cityofws.org. Chris Hodgson, attorney, his name is spelled H-O-D-G-S-O-N, Disability Rights North Carolina, phone 919-856-2195, email chris.hodgson@disabilityrightsnc.org. From yourdailylocal.com. White Cane Coffee CEO Willman, W-I-L-L-M-A-N, recognized with Global CEO Excellence Award, Dateline August 12th, Warren, Pennsylvania. Erin Willman continues to change the world one cup of coffee at a time. Willman, the CEO of White Cane Coffee in Warren, has been recognized by CEO Monthly with a Global CEO Excellence Award for Best Organic Coffee Manufacturing CEO in the USA. Willman lost her vision at 15 and at 22 founded White Cane along with her father Bob Willman and mother Vicki Willman, providing jobs, hope, and inspiration to the blind and disabled. I'm still kind of processing it, Erin said. It's very surreal. We are a small business in a small town, and to be recognized globally it's cool in its own way because big things don't just have to come from big places. It can come from small companies. Sometimes the smaller voices can make the larger impact. Erin first started White Cane with the goal of helping to normalize disabled people in the workplace. White Cane has long since done that. With their shop on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Conowongo Avenue in Warren, currently employing 8 disabled workers. This came a little bit out of the blue, said Bob, the company manager. We kind of got a hint that she was nominated, and then you get that notification that says congratulations. This isn't who made the most money. What her company stands for is innovation. Putting the braille on all the packaging is a big deal globally because that's something that hasn't been done. She brought that inclusiveness. The things she's done for other organizations, whether it's it's a school for the blind, or the Helen Keller Institute, Perkins School. It's all these things that she does to show people that there is hope. The goal from the beginning was to allow disabled employees who have the freedoms everyone else enjoys, but they are often denied. White Cane is doing that, and in the process changing lives for the better. If you can change one person's life, you are changing the world, Aaron said. When I first lost my vision, it was hard. I would stay in my room and cry for days on end, trying to figure out what I'm going to do next. Then you learn to get around with the cane, learn Braille, and no one will hire you. That's crushing. To start this and tell people you are good enough, that is worth more than any award I could be given. Apart from her duties at White Cane, Erin is also active in working with schools and organizations that specialize in teaching the blind and disabled. She has worked closely with the School for the Blind Children in Pittsburgh and has been a keynote speaker at a number of functions, including the National Federation of the Blind. They, CEO Monthly, are looking at the whole picture of Erin and White Cane Coffee and the impact that it's having on business and society as a whole, Bob said. That's what we want to see from CEOs. Are they making a change in the world for good? And people are seeing what she is doing, not just in Warren, but now nationally and internationally. When we first started the company, we said we were going to be strictly an online store. We're going to do it out of our house. And then we kind of blew up, Erin said. Now I'm getting all of these awards, and it's like, what is happening? This was never part of the game plan. And Erin does it all with humility, inspiring people along the way. The impact is incredible, Erin said. It's incredible to know that there are other disabled people, not just in this country, but around the world, who are going, I can be something more than I always was told I could be. That is incredible to me. There is probably some young blind person struggling to get through and getting told what they can't do, and they hear about this award and they believe they can make a difference. This is probably one of the greatest things that I feel personally that this company is doing. As for the product itself, White Cane offers a wide variety of coffee choices, from Colombian Supremo, Colombian Supremo Decaf, Donut Shop, Dragon Roast, High Octane, Breakfast Blend, and so much more. I can tell you, in the past week, we've had people come in from Ohio, New York, Wisconsin. They're coming here, saying they have to come and see this place, Bob said. These are families who have kids with autism and different disabilities. They come here because we show them hope for their child and their family. That is the one thing Erin can give that there's no price tag on. So, what's next for Erin and White Cane? Her goal is to expand to the United Kingdom to work with the Royal National Institute of Blind People and local roasters across the UK to bring White Cane coffee and jobs to the blind community at large. That will be a challenge, but an exciting one that they are looking forward to. Our phones have gone off the hook from the UK since this award, Bob said. We're trying to find a way for us to put White Cane coffee in the UK. The Royal National Institute of Blind People is actually a government agency, They want to bring White Cane coffee to the UK. There are going to be some headaches that come along with that, but we get it. That is a big move for any American company to be able to get into another market such as that. Sorry about the typo. From TouchpadProFoundation.org, please enjoy this short video that explains our vision. I'm reading the transcript. The Touchpad Pro Foundation presentation. Title appears, The Braille Doodle, The Touchpad Pro Foundation, touchpadprofoundation.org. A young boy with dark skin, with buzzed black hair and a big smile is touching a house on the Braille Doodle prototype. Alt text title reads, The Touchpad Pro Foundation. Throughout the video, Daniel is showing slides from a PowerPoint presentation. His video is playing in a small box in the upper right-hand corner. He has short dark hair, is wearing a green polo, and is sitting in front of the fall leaves and pine trees behind a lake background. Opens with a slideshow of kids who are blind, teenagers doing art, a girl with a backpack and a cane, a boy painting with his face close to a painting, a young girl with glasses, two small children doing arts and crafts, three little kids, two boys and a girl, in a hallway holding their canes. Slide 1. A toddler who is blind is pressing her face against her father's face. Hi, my name is Daniel Lubiner. I am the president of the Touchpad Pro Foundation. I'm a veteran teacher of 25 years, and for the last 5 years, I was teaching the blind and low vision. I was teaching them art. They inspired me so much, I started thinking of these products. And then the pandemic hit, and there was like, no teaching of Braille, no teaching of art. So I thought of a new product and formed a foundation to get this product out in the hands of students everywhere. Slide 2. Alt text title. The problem. Three pictures. A blind man in a museum. A blind woman studying at a table. A blind man using his phone. The text reads, limited access to art. Only 32% graduate high school. Only 16% college. More than 70% are unemployed. 1 in 3 live in poverty. There is a problem when the blind and low vision try to access or create art. We can pick up a pencil or a pen wherever we are. We have Etch-a-Sketch, Magnadoodle. What if the blind and low vision had something that was made just for them? And then I started seeing these statistics. Only 32% graduate from high school and 16% college. And of course, that leads to a future where 1 in 3 are living in poverty and massive unemployment. Slide 3. Text is read aloud. A pie chart illustrates the 85% Braille literate. And then we had a look. How important is Braille? Of the 30% who are employed, 85% use Braille. But it's like a no-brainer, right? If you teach kids how to read and write, they're going to do better in school and employment. But only 10% of kids are learning Braille, and that is out of 700,000 in the United States alone. Slide 4, text is read aloud. Alt text picture on the left, young Hispanic girl, about 5, in a white blouse and black and yellow glasses, is smiling. She is holding the Braille Doodle for Braille learning and tactile art. On the surface is a house, a capital letter H, and the word house in Braille. A quote says, I made this. Alt text picture right, the Braille Doodle on its side with the Braille cover over the Braille Doodle, creating dozens of rectangular cutouts covering the surface. Each rectangle is a Braille cell. A white stylus is writing Braille. Our solution is the Braille Doodle. It will be affordable and high quality with just magnets. You'll be able to create touchable drawings, learn Braille in person or remotely. You could have independent learning with all kinds of specialized cover options, like for geometry or math or shapes or drawing. Slide 5. Title. Development has begun. Alt text, creative engineering logo, a robot toy, a guitar, a Yoda toy. Some things creative engineering put together, like a guitar bridge that tunes automatically, a toy big-eyed robot, and a toy Yoda robot. 4 pictures appear on the right. 2 are CAD drawings and designs of the ball and lock device. 1 is of the double-sized prototype. It is green with 5x5 grid of larger balls, and the other is small scale, orange with the same number of balls. Development of the Braille Doodle has begun. We are working with creative engineering, and we are up to the prototyping phase. Here is a short video about the Braille Doodle. I hope you enjoy it. Braille Doodle Video. Description of the Braille Doodle in the video is as follows. The Braille Doodle is a device for Braille literacy and tactile art. It is about a laptop size, only it is made of hard plastic, dark blue plastic. An array of hundreds of holes placed tightly together cover the surface. Each hole contains a tiny metal that can be pulled to the surface by a magnetic stylus and locked into place to create a touchable effect. The user erases a creation by pushing the elements back down with a satisfying pop. The magnetic stylus, stored in a slot on the side, is attached to the Braille Doodle with a retractable cord. There will be one side for drawing and the other for learning and practicing Braille. On the Braille side, 4 lines contain examples and practice space for each letter. There is also the capital sign, the number sign, and the words, and 4 of, and the. In Braille with a space. In the example Braille cell, the only functioning holes will be those that make that particular letter. So a learner can make an example of just that letter repeatedly, and then next to it, the learner can practice making the letter with the 6 functioning holes next to it to practice that letter. Beneath each Braille cell example is the print letter capitalized. Beneath each practice Braille cell is the Braille letter in actual size on a raised rectangle. All cells are broken up with thin tactile lines. These Braille sections are larger holes and metal balls for people to feel them easier. Below the Braille alphabet are three lines of about 20 Braille cells. These are smaller holes with smooth metal balls that are made up of 6 dot clusters. There will be specialized cover options acting as stencils on the drawing side. So the packaging becomes the frame for various covers. So when you lift off the cover of the box, the Braille doodle is sitting in a hard plastic frame. This half box holds the flat covers in place over the drawing side. Then flat covers can include nemeth, punctuation, contractions, shapes, graphs, and Braille in different languages. The first edition will have Braille and Hindi covers included. Video with audio description available at https://www.touchpadprofoundation.org/braille-doodle-video/. Your donation will ensure that we get the Braille Doodle out to as many kids as possible, and as soon as possible. Visit touchpadprofoundation.org. Thank you so much. The video closes as it opened. The title appears, The Braille Doodle, the Touchpad Pro Foundation, touchpadprofoundation.org. A young boy with dark skin with buzzed black hair and a big smile is touching a house on the Braille Doodle prototype. From the Quinn dot Vercel dot app, TheQuinn dot Vercel dot app. Welcome to my website. Hey there, and welcome to TQ Central, the amazing all-in-one resource for my clients and persons in the blind and visually impaired community. Here you have access to all my YouTube videos and their transcripts, some accessibility tips and advice, and details of the services that I provide. If you are or know anyone who is new to the blind community, check out the Beginner's Guide section below. Also, continue reading to find out more about me, my tutorials, and the services that I offer. Thanks for stopping by, and I'm sure you will find this website informative and helpful. I'm a multi-talented young female who is dedicated to assist persons in any way that I possibly can. I try my best to share my knowledge with others, and this is something that I enjoy doing. I own a YouTube channel which aims to provide tutorials for blind and visually impaired persons to teach them how to navigate and use their devices and applications with various assistive technology, mainly NVDA. I also use the platform to share interviews of blind and visually impaired persons who have overcome the limitations of their disability, and these help to encourage persons in the community. I'm also an audio editor, voiceover artiste, web developer, data entry expert, and an aspiring programmer. Continue reading to find out more about my YouTube resources and the services that I offer. Beginner's Guide. Most persons seem to think that when a person loses their sight, their whole world comes crashing down. I know this because this is exactly what I thought too. Using my computer was my favorite pastime, and losing my sight felt like a major part of my life just crumbled. That is, until I have come to learn that there was a type of software called a screen reader that would change my life forever. This assistive technology allowed me to be able to use my computer and smartphone just as well or even better than a sighted person. Sometimes people don't even believe that you're not really seeing. If you or your loved one are in the same situation that I was once in and want to learn to use the computer through the use of a screen reader, navigate to the newbie tab of this website or click the link below. There's more on her website, but I've run out of time for this week's Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening.